Yes, please, would you turn to page 892 in your Pew Bible, please? And we'll be reading from Daniel, reading chapter 7 from verse 7. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from behind him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The second reading can be found on page 1189. And we're reading from 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to 12. I hope you found it, yeah. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
David, thank you very much for reading that for us. Let me lead us in a prayer before we turn to God's word. Heavenly Father, this is a less familiar passage to many of us, I imagine. And so we pray that you'd help us to understand it through the Holy Spirit. Help us to see more clearly the wonderful hope that Jesus gives us. Amen. The war between Russia and Ukraine has been going on for more than a year now, hasn't it? And there's been terrible suffering, and we've seen it on the news for many months now. Cities and towns have been destroyed, hospitals and schools have been bombed, art galleries and museums have been robbed. I wonder how many churches have been destroyed. Dead Ukrainians have been found in basements with their hands tied behind their backs. They've been tied up and shot. There have been reports of rape. The Russian government has been telling lots of lies on the Russian news. The government has claimed for a long time that it isn't a war. Or they've claimed that Ukraine are the villains and they need to be fought. So many Russian soldiers have been wounded and killed that the Russian government are now emptying the prisons. And they're saying to prisoners, we'll let you out of prison if you go and fight in the army for a certain amount of time and then you'll be free. But they don't really give them any training, and so they die easily. I read in the paper that last year, 700,000 young men in Russia have run away from Russia because they don't want to end up fighting in the army. It's a horrible mess, isn't it? Our passage this morning talks about a person called the man of lawlessness. Elsewhere in the Bible, he's given the name Antichrist. Antichrist, meaning against Christ, against Jesus. And our passage says that this person will be a terrible leader who will affect the whole world before Jesus comes back. The Apostle John says this a bit later on in the Bible, if you look up at the screen. He says, as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. He means that one great Antichrist will come in the future, but before then there'll be lots of little Antichrists who will keep popping up here and there in world history. And when we see little A antichrists, we're reminded that one day the capital A antichrist will come. This teaching might seem pretty weird to many of us. We might not be very familiar with this, but just have a look down at verse 5 in our passage, 2 Thessalonians 2, page 1189. Paul says, verse 5, to the Thessalonians, don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? Paul had only been with them for 4 weeks, and yet he had taught them clearly about the man of lawlessness. Well, we're thinking this morning about hope when the future looks bleak, when the future looks hopeless. And our passage today points to a grim future, but then a wonderful hope beyond that. It's the hope of Jesus coming back. We're spending a few weeks looking at this short letter in the New Testament. It's from Paul, and he's writing to the Thessalonian Christians. And they had a very hard time for being Christians. People were very hard to them in that city. And Paul writes to them to encourage them. And in our passage today, Paul teaches them about the end times. And he does so to strengthen their hope. And God wants to strengthen our hope this morning as well. So let's look at it together. Page 1189. And the first thing that Paul says is this, up on the screen. He says, the day of the Lord hasn't come yet. And we're looking at verses 1 and 2. Paul starts, verse 1. He says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, dot, dot, dot. And it's a reminder that Christians have a wonderful hope in the future. It's the coming of the Lord Jesus. On the final day, Jesus will come back as king, and all of his faithful people will be gathered to him. Just imagine that for a moment. Imagine being reunited with all of your Christian friends and family that you've known. And we'll live in his perfect kingdom forever. And God will give us perfect resurrection bodies that will never become ill or weak. And there'll be no sin or no suffering or no Satan. And we will live with God and we will celebrate with him in his kingdom forever. It'll be wonderful. But end of verse 1, with that in mind, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Paul's worried for this young church. Paul's heard that they've been confused by some false teaching. We don't know how it reached them. Maybe it came through a false prophecy, maybe through a dodgy visiting preacher, or maybe through a fake letter. And if it was a letter, then at the end of the letter it said, love from Paul, but it wasn't from Paul. And this false teaching has spread, and it's saying that Jesus has already come back, that eternal life had already begun. And you can imagine the damage that that would do in a church. Here's one young man in the congregation, and he thinks to himself, well, my uncle is dying of cancer, and eternal life has already started. Well, that's rubbish. Or here's a middle-aged woman, and she thinks, well, I'm working hard at my marriage, but my marriage is painful at times. And eternal life has already started. What a total letdown. Forget church this Sunday. I'm going to give up. False teaching always causes a mess. And Paul writes to correct them. The day of the Lord hasn't come yet. And in a moment, he'll explain why. But let's just pause for a moment and think, because we need to be careful too. This is a reminder, not every preacher can be trusted. Not every Christian conference is helpful. Not every Christian book or website is trustworthy. You can't just search on YouTube or turn on the God Channel on TV and trust everything you hear. There's lots of teaching out there that goes against what the apostles say. And it can unsettle us or alarm us or damage us. When I was a young Christian, aged about 19 or 20, one of my pastors used to say, there's no sound that the preacher likes more than the rustle of Bible pages. Because it shows that the congregation is checking that the sermon is coming from the Bible. And if we're wise, we'll do that here. Paul corrects the false teaching in Thessalonica. The day of the Lord hasn't come yet. And here's why. It's because the man of lawlessness hasn't come yet. And we're looking at verses 3 and 4. Just have a look down. Let me read verse 3. Paul says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. So don't be deceived, Thessalonians. Jesus won't come back until certain events happen first. First, there will be a worldwide rebellion overseen by a terrible leader. Do you notice the two names that he's given in verse 3? Firstly, he's called the man of lawlessness. This leader will rebel against all of God's laws. He'll be a very wicked person. But happily, he's also called the man doomed to destruction. If rebelling against the living God is your big thing, that's not going to work out brilliantly for you. He's doomed to be destroyed by God. Verse 4 tells us more. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So the man of lawlessness will set himself against Christianity and against every religion. He wants to be worshipped. He'll set himself up as a kind of God. Do you remember our Old Testament passage we had earlier? Daniel sees a vision of the same thing. Daniel sees a frightening beast. It has large iron teeth, and it crushes and it eats its victims. And it's a picture of a terrifying government before Jesus returns. And the beast has a little horn, and that's a picture of the leader of this terrifying government. It's the same person as the man of lawlessness here. Think Putin, think Hitler. Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister during the Second World War, and Churchill heard about the Nazi death camps about a year before the end of the war, and Churchill said, "There's no doubt that this is probably the greatest and most horrible crime ever committed in the whole history of the world." Men like Hitler and Stalin are little A antichrists, but one day the capital A antichrist will come, but he'll quickly be destroyed. In Daniel's vision, you've got the little horn squeaking and boasting, "You worship me, all Bibles must be burned." And you remember what happens? God's throne is set up behind him as he's there squeaking away, and he's destroyed. And it's the same here. The man of lawlessness is the man doomed to destruction. The rebellion will come before Jesus returns, but Jesus will win. And Paul is comforting the Thessalonians. He's saying, "Guys, don't be dismayed by that YouTube sermon that you've all been watching. You know the day of the Lord hasn't come yet, because the man of lawlessness hasn't come yet." It's a bit like this. Imagine you've got a young daughter, and early one Monday morning, your daughter runs into your bedroom, and she's very upset, and there are tears everywhere, and she says, "I'm really upset. We've missed Rachel's birthday party. I've been looking forward to it so much, and we missed it. It was on Saturday, and now it's Monday morning, and we've missed it." And you say, no, don't you remember? The party is after you go to the dentist. Have you been to the dentist yet? Have you had your filling yet? No, don't worry. You haven't missed the party, it's okay. It's the dentist first, and then the party. And it's the same here. The day of the Lord hasn't come yet, because the man of lawlessness hasn't come yet. Now, this teaching might seem a bit strange to us, but it comes a number of times in the Bible. The man of lawlessness is the little horn that Daniel spoke of. He's the Antichrist that the Apostle John spoke of. Jesus warned of terrible times before his return, and the book of Revelation says similar things. And it's a reminder to us, if you're a Christian, you are part of something very great. Your life is not just working to pass the exams and then going to work 9 to 5 and going to Aldi and seeing relatives and things like that. No, if you're a Christian, you are part of something very great. There is a battle going on between good and evil. There are heroes and villains. There are angels and demons. There are prophets and predictions. Your life matters. Your faith matters. How you serve matters. God tells us that there will be a great rebellion before Jesus comes, but then Jesus will win. Paul tells us more before we finish. When he comes, the man of lawlessness will deceive and be destroyed. And we're looking now at verses 5 to 12. Paul says in verse 6, "And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Sin, lawlessness, it's sort of bubbling away under the surface like lava, and it's ready to erupt and ruin everything. But something is holding the man of lawlessness back. People disagree what that might be. Maybe it's human government, maybe it's law and order holding evil back, but whatever it is, one day that will be removed and the Antichrist will come. Verse 9, over the page. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. So when the Antichrist comes, it'll be supernatural. He'll be like a fake version of Jesus. He'll do miracles, signs, and wonders, just like Jesus did. And he'll trick many people. Middle of verse 10. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. People reject the truth about Jesus, and so they get deceived by the man of lawlessness. And because they reject God, God gives them up to that lie. Verse 11. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they'll believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. So people reject the gospel, and so they fall for the lie, and so God gives them up to the lie. And we might think, well, hang on, doesn't God love people? Well, of course God loves people. But if we keep on rejecting his truth again and again and again, God will eventually say, well, all right, have it your way. If you don't want Jesus, believe the lie instead. And it's a warning for us this morning. There may be some of us here who have heard the truth about Jesus again and again and again, and yet you don't want to listen. We mustn't play with God. The time will come when God will give you up to that, and you can only believe the lie. What a horrible thought that is. Well, that's happening now in our own time, but this passage says that will happen on a big scale at the end, before Jesus returns. But the passage gives us great hope. The man of lawlessness will deceive and be destroyed. Just have a look at verse 8. It says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. There's no contest, there's no struggle, there's no fight. The fake Messiah gets blown away by the real Messiah. And that's our hope. And although it seems far off, it does speak to us today. Do you remember John's words that we looked at earlier? Here they are again up on the screen. He says, as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. Time and time again in our own lives, we'll be watching the news, we'll hear things, and we'll recognize that a little a Antichrist is at work. And every time we see that, we should think to ourselves, well, one day the capital A Antichrist will appear and Jesus will win. Here's an example. Have you seen this picture before? Have you seen that? It's quite a recent picture of a Chinese prison camp. The government in China have locked up about 1 million Muslims. And they use cameras that recognize people's faces to catch people. This is in northwest China at the moment. It's scary, isn't it? And there are reports of torture and rape. And it's a war against religion. In this instance, it's Islam. The Chinese government is very controlling, very powerful. I wonder if any of you have ever used TikTok. There are a number of governments at the moment that are warning people who work for their governments to not use TikTok, because they're worried that the Chinese government is using TikTok to gather your personal information. And a picture like that on screen is a reminder of little a antichrists. And whenever we see something like that on the news, we should think one day the capital A antichrist will come, but Jesus will win. Jesus offers hope when the future looks bleak. Jesus offers the only solid hope there is. Jesus alone can offer everlasting life. That's why we're having the International Food Night in a couple of weeks. That's why we're having our Easter Sunday guest service. We know that the day of the Lord is coming. We know that only Jesus can give eternal life. We know that he'll win. Why not have a think? If there's a friend or a family member, you could invite along to hear about Jesus. Maybe your personal life looks bleak at the moment. Maybe it's poor health. Maybe it's money trouble. Maybe Mothering Sunday is a painful day for you. Maybe you're aware of sin bubbling away under the surface in your own heart. We need to remember Jesus is our great hope. Jesus is coming back. He's done everything to defeat our sin. We're going to remember that in a moment as we take communion together. And Jesus is coming back soon to gather us. Why don't we pray to him now? Lord Jesus, we praise you that you died once for sin and that God raised you to everlasting life. We praise you that one day you will come back in power and great glory. Thank you that you will gather us. Thank you for the hope that that gives us when life seems bleak. We praise you. Amen.